In the supernatural landscape of New York City, darkness stirs beneath the surface of normalcy. Simon Lewis navigates his new existence as a daylighter vampire, while Jace Lightwood and Clary Frey attempt to build a relationship after the chaos of their previous adventures. But peace remains elusive in this world of shadow hunters and downworlders. Nightmares plague Jace, strange cult activities emerge across the city, and an ancient evil plots her return through the most unexpected channels. What begins as separate struggles soon converges into a terrifying revelation. Sometimes, the greatest threats come not from external enemies, but from the shadows within ourselves. When death's boundaries are breached, the universe demands balance, and the price of resurrection may be higher than anyone imagined. Simon's vampire existence brings unique challenges. Protected by the Mark of Cain, which returns sevenfold harm to his attackers, he's both invulnerable and isolated. When his mother finds blood bottles in his room, he's forced to use vampire mind control to make her forget and must leave home. "I'm a fugitive and wanderer on Earth," he reflects, living out Cain's curse. His love life tangles as he dates both shadow hunter Isabel and werewolf Maya until they discover his duplicity at a band performance. Meanwhile, former vampire leader Camille attempts to recruit him against Raphael, promising insights about his daylighter powers. The true cost of Simon's transformation isn't supernatural. It's the gradual loss of his human connections. Each lie about food or nighttime activities frays another link to his past life. After nearly attacking a fan backstage, he faces a brutal truth. Beneath his human facade, the monster always lurks. Jace Lightwood is haunted by recurring nightmares where he murders Clary in violent ways, leaving him physically ill and forcing him to withdraw from their hard-won relationship. During Institute training sessions, glimpses of his old self emerge, confident and protective, catching Clary with his usual quick reflexes. But when he accidentally calls Valentine my father, it reveals his deep fear that Jocelyn sees him as Valentine's second coming. "I'm not like Valentine" becomes his desperate mantra as he questions whether his lack of remorse for killing Jonathan signals inherited darkness. He maintains careful distance from Clary, terrified of becoming the monster from his dreams. "I love you more than I probably should," he tells her before withdrawing, his protective instinct only deepening her hurt. The Seelie Queen preys on this vulnerability in Central Park, suggesting his distance stems from a growing darkness that finds Clary's pure heart repulsive, words that amplify his self-doubt and drive him further from the one person who might help him. A disturbing pattern emerges in New York City. Pregnant women found dead, their babies missing. Jocelyn spots Valentine's experimental mark at a crime scene, indicating someone is continuing his work to create more demon blood-infused children like Sebastian. The Church of Talto is a windowless structure lit by black candles. An imposing owl statue with metallic eyes faces rows of pews, replacing the traditional cross. The altar holds a black-handled athame marked with shifting symbols. Shadow hunters find 47 stone pedestals arranged in circles, each holding a silver basket containing preserved infant remains with demonic mutations, clawed hands, black talons, and skin marked like burned runes. This organized display suggests systematic attempts to create more beings like Sebastian. Lilith, who introduces herself to Simon as First of All Demons, reveals she provided blood for Sebastian's creation, watching him grow while disguised as an owl. Having preserved Sebastian's body, she devises a plan, using Clary's request for Jace's resurrection as a cosmic loophole. The plan requires Simon's daylighter blood to resurrect Sebastian, with Jace as the counterweight, Light's first restored soul enabling Dark's revival. The ritual binding Jace and Sebastian marks the novel's darkest turn. After Lilith's destruction by Simon's Mark of Cain, Jace guards Sebastian's coffin, his body unwillingly drawn to its eerie green glow. Sebastian's voice whispers that Lilith's blood still compels Jace, despite her death. Using Valentine's dagger, Jace cuts his palm and bleeds onto Sebastian's face. When Sebastian awakens, he cuts his own palm and grips Jace's hand. Their mingled blood creates a supernatural connection, marked by red lacework, that overrides Jace's will. This forced brotherhood corrupts Jace's true family bonds with the Lightwoods. As Sebastian's voice flows through their shared blood, "We are one now, little brother," the connection creates a lethal weapon, Jace's fighting prowess combined with Sebastian's demonic ruthlessness. The matching marks on their chests mean harming Sebastian could kill Jace, an impossible choice for his loved ones. Jace's previous struggle against his perceived connection to Valentine becomes literal as he finds himself bound to Valentine's true son, threatening everything he values. Relationships in this supernatural world exist in precarious balance. Clary and Jace's romance, having survived the revelation they weren't siblings, now faces internal threats. Their training sessions offer glimpses of normalcy, but these moments are overshadowed by Jace's increasing withdrawal. Magnus and Alec grapple with immortality versus mortality. When Alec discovers mementos from Magnus's past lovers, Magnus confesses, "I realize now that I won't be any more ready to lose you then than I am right now." Their choice to simply hope captures the novel's bittersweet approach to love against impossible odds. Isabel's guarded heart opens to Simon despite her resistance to serious relationships. Standing in his sparse bedroom at Jordan's apartment, she reflects on his loneliness and regrets her emotional distance. Their relationship shows how embracing vulnerability can transform even the strongest emotional barriers. Luke and Jocelyn's mature love weathers supernatural complications. Their wedding requires adaptation, since Luke, as a werewolf, cannot bear the angel's runes in a traditional Shadowhunter ceremony. Their relationship exemplifies how love can endure through mutual respect and compromise, even in a world of demons and ancient curses. The novel climaxes when Jace and Sebastian are bound through blood magic. After Lilith's destruction, Jace guards Sebastian's blowing coffin when Sebastian whispers, "Did you think you were free because Lilith is gone? The vampire's bite woke me. Now her blood compels you." Using Valentine's dagger, they cut their palms and join hands. As their blood mingles, red lacework binds them, creating a connection that overrides Jace's will. Through their shared blood, Sebastian declares, "We are one now, little brother." This forced brotherhood corrupts the family bonds Jace built with the Lightwoods. For Jace, who resisted becoming like Valentine, being bound to Valentine's true son embodies his worst fear. Their matching chest marks create an impossible situation. The Clave cannot execute Sebastian without risking Jace's life. The story evolves from overcoming trauma to being physically bound to it, asking, how do we save someone we love when darkness claims them?